quite some time now. You know, Brandon Spencer and the boys, you know, we've been asking around. Do you got that natural law?
Hi, Mr. Winslow.
Hello, hello. Welcome, folks. This is the One Great Work Warriors. My name is Chris Jansen. Welcome back to another episode. This is a special episode. As you saw the awesome intro, thanks, Derek, for the introductory music to today's shitcom, where we're going to talk shit about the shitcoms. And why are we going to talk shit about the shitcoms? Because the shitcoms are shitty, and they're blasting shit all over our society on a daily 24-hour basis and clogging up the works of the intelligence and the spiritual understanding of human beings in all kinds of weird and little subtle ways. They suck you in with the laugh tracks and the funny little tunes in the beginning, and you know that shit's just always playing in the background. I don't know how many people's houses I've been on where that crap's just playing all the time. Just this crap show, kind of a backdrop to everybody's life. But really, the One Great Work Warriors have assembled today. Brandon Spencer got his internet got struck by lightning or something, and he's trying to get back on. We hope you can make it to join us. But in the meantime, we got Jerry, Crip Rick, Jim Adams, and Derek Bartolacelli, and we're going to discuss shitcoms and their effect on us in life and how that affects natural law principles. So, Jim, will you be the first up guy? You got something to say about shitcoms?
Well, I don't know if I'm the best choice for first, but yeah, man, I'll go for it. Because this topic kind of tricked me up a bit, because I never really like committed to like any one show. I don't think, like, I'm not like a pop culture kind of person. And like you mentioned, the canned laughter, that was always a thing that would like annoy me. Like, so it was like trying to like tell you when you're supposed to laugh. And when the jokes weren't even funny, I was like, why? Like, it was just so annoying. But so the one thing that I've come to realize in recent years is, you know, that human beings are programmable. And this, we just grew up with television, and that's definitely a big part of the programming is, you know, the television programming. So, you know, when you guys brought up sitcoms, I never really thought of sitcoms so much as being a part of it, but yeah. For sure. I mean, it's all for a reason. I know when I was a kid, my parents were pretty strict too. Like, so I know you guys are going to talk about Married with Children and that, like, later on that came up a lot, and I wasn't allowed to watch it. Like, I think I was like in 7th or 8th grade when it came out, and it was very controversial.
To your parents.
yeah, but it was like the anti sitcom, really, like, compared to, because I didn't even have cable, but when I went to my grandparents' house, they did have cable, because my grandfather watched sports. He wanted ESPN or whatever, so I would watch Nickelodeon, and I was allowed to watch that and like all like the old like 50s and 60s, like Leave It to Beaver and all that kind of stuff. So I could totally, like, that kind of programming was definitely more wholesome. And then by the time Married with Children came out, that was like the antithesis of that. And so I could see why my parents didn't want me to watch that. One thing that came to mind, I used to love staying up late, and at around 11 o'clock every night, there was reruns of the Honeymooners. And I thought I loved that show. And I was thinking about it, you know, I have some Ralph Crampton in me. I definitely like have had these like kind of harebrained screen high in the sky ideas and fail. But I feel like I have that character programmed into me. So I find that interesting. Just one more thing, I'll pass it on, getting back to programming. How we're This is fairly new, the television. It's only since like the 50s. And I was born in 74, so it was we all were born into it and we didn't know any different. And it's very strange that we don't consider the effect like it has on us, or we just think it's normal that it's a thing. Like we can't imagine life without it, but if you really take a step back and, because I did a lot, because I would not watch and see other people watch and like that's fucked up. Like especially now, because I don't watch TV at all, and the commercials on top of it, the commercials that are in between, like the influence, and the programming in there, just to get you, is a big factor too, but. I'll pass it off to Jerry.
Thanks, Jim. That was great. Thanks for picking this topic, Chris. And as far as Brendan Spencer goes, the show must go on, like Lupe Fiasco song. And I think you guys can hear me clearly, so I'm gonna move on. So when you first introduced this topic, Chris, I didn't really give much thought about to sitcoms. And so that's like the programming that was still embedded in me. And now I can realize, I can take a step back and see how I still have programming in me. What else am I unaware of that I've been programmed into, to Jim's point? So, in this topic of the sitcoms, I also grew up with watching Nickelodeon, and I used to pretty much go to sleep watching Drake and Josh or Malcolm in the Middle. And I remember an episode from SpongeBob. I don't know if that's a sitcom, but I remember seeing SpongeBob watch TV for like the entire night, and I knew there was something wrong with that. But then I think about me watching him watching TV, so it's almost like, all right, I think there has to be a balance when you watch TV, but there's also the fine line whether what's good information versus bad information. To Jim's point, we're programmable. So we want to feed ourselves with good information. So Nickelodeon, I mean, is that really what, a kid should be watching with the laugh tracks? That's not even funny. I mean, they want you to laugh on purpose. It's there because they want you to, be entertained. And I think Brandon was going to touch on that entertainment to enter the mind, the programming, right? It's to keep you docile, to keep you, watching black boxes, black mirrors, keeps you distracted from what you really need to learn, which is essentially how to have a strong mindset, how to have a positive mindset, how to conquer goals, and how to talk to individuals, collaborate with one another, and essentially get the word out of natural law. So I'm just going to leave it there for now, and I'll pass it to Rick.
Thank you. And I just want to say welcome all the warriors. And once again, I look forward to these discussions. And hello to everybody in chat and listening. It's great that you guys are all here and joining us for all of these recordings. It's great to, get your guys' feedback on this. And I'm kind of like Jim in this in a way. I never watched a lot of sitcoms. So I was kind of always, I was thinking back and I'm like, geez, what did I used to even watch? And Chris brought it up. Like, what did I watch as even when I was younger? Like, let's go back really young. And I remember seeing shows at like Leave It to Beaver, and then I was thought back more, and I was like, wow, I remember seeing shows like Happy Days was a big one I remember watching, which is with the Fonz, if anybody remembers. I'm definitely dating myself. And another one was Three's Company. So those are the kind of the ones that I remember. And I came at it when I first started thinking about this. I was looking at it like, okay, we got this. I was just thinking like how we got to those type of shows to where we are now. And it was kind of an interesting how it kind of played out the more I thought about it, because I thought back to these older shows that I just mentioned. And I'm like, at least back then, for a couple of them, especially with Leave It to Beaver and stuff like Happy Days and that, there was this family structure that this show was built around. It was like a tight family structure. And they, I don't know if you want to say they were trying to promote good values and like just a different way of showing things life. And I just remember seeing that. And it was definitely around these families. And Three's Company, that's another whole topic. That was kind of, I think, where they started going off and experimenting, because you had a guy living with two women, but he was supposedly had to play gay because he wasn't allowed to live with the two women if he wasn't. And so that's interesting in itself. But then I realized the more I thought about it, that they, even those older shows, weren't really showing real life. That's what I kind of realized. Like, even those shows, even though they were based around family, and it wasn't projecting to me real life as we think about it, because there's no perfect family like they would portray. Like, there wasn't these perfect families that I was seeing on the screen when I saw other families that I hung around. It was like, that's so even those, even though they were better than for values and morals, and they were kind of, it was more normal than what we're seeing now. It's interesting how I've just kind of come full circle and realized that I've thought about this a lot, because as I was saying, I haven't really watched a ton, especially newer sitcoms. I do watch a lot of documentaries, and I watch, you know, other types of series, but I'm not much for the comedy ones. So it's just interesting. The big one that I watched was Married with Children, which I'm sure we're going to get into. That one I definitely dove into. I've seen every season episode multiple times. So I have seen follow through on one. So yeah, that's just kind of, I'll leave it at that and add on to it in a bit. But I don't know who wants to take it next. Chris, you want to kind of build on that?
I think Derek's up.
Okay, Derek's good.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
You know, you won't find me in some tight red undies, you know, acting all not all masculine like a Ted Bundy or Al. He was not really my pal, although I did watch some of those episodes growing up, and like it was just so like off-centered. I wasn't like feeling it, although like, yeah, the laugh track just keeps you entertained in that sense. And yeah, Jerry, the word entertainment etymologically means to enter the mind and hold it. Entre in French means, in, you know, this is all Latin based, but in France, huh? What about the Olympics? No. No, I just live here, by the way. Mais oui, les amis. Entretiens mon. Mon is, you know, M-E-N-T, the mind. Tien means to hold in French, or tain in Latin. And then entrer. Enter. The dragon. No, just kidding. Or the year of the wooden dragon, as we're in. But, yeah, Jim, I really love what you said, and like just taking it back from the beginning, because this is where people need to kind of get it be based off of, right? To understand, like, okay, where did this come from? Who invented it? And how did it just, you know, evolve from there? And you've noticed I spoke about this in a recording for Dissolving the Divide last night with Zerilath the Immortal, and just talking about, like, you can see from the generational evolution with technology, it's like up here, yet the dialogue and the writing of shitcoms or whatever the fuck, it doesn't match this. And it's the same with a lot of other television programming. We could say that it's on purpose if you go into the works of Bill Cooper, where, you know, like the Naval Intelligence, you know, Agency and that kind of stuff, which is just a branch of quite a big wicked tree. A wicked tree doing wicked tree, right? Anyways. Stemming back on those, you know, with the words.
You're not talking about the Hollywood, are you?
Unhollywood, yeah. And yeah, the Hollywoodization of things. And yeah, so what I've noticed, especially, you know, just living out in France and detaching myself, like I have not owned a television for a long time. And just being on the outside looking back in, and believe me, I grew up watching a shitload of television. My favorite shows growing up was like Family Matters, Simpsons, and forget what else. I was in like Voltron and the old animated X-Men type of shit. But just going back to what Jim said of like how things were more wholesome back in the days, like even like the fucking Brady Bunch and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people have seen recent Brady memes Bunch. Of like even then they weren't concerned about the measles or something like that. It's like, you don't need a vaccine for the, everyone just, you know, just go to the neighbor's house and have a chicken pox party, whatever the fuck, you know, like back in the days when things were more holistic, wholesome. And now, yeah, it's like the simulacra and simulation of just like the carbon copy fucking cookie cutter conundrum of, you know, a lot of other useless writing hacks that have just copied other people's ideas from past times or whatever and just made some fucking slop, like whatever the fuck is on CBS, TBS, USA, or, you know, Fox or whatever the fuck. Like, how many fucking channels are there? I'm already subscribed to over 500 channels on YouTube. I don't need any more. I supplemented my shit with, you know, some other stuff. And that's just one platform outside of the BitChutes and Odysseys. But anyways. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the whole rinse and repeat week after week regarding just, okay, so the weekly program. And yeah, I have a meme of Homer just going through the whole every day of the week and just having a more delirious face of just an emasculated man that just never fucking knew himself, really, and just got pumped into the some, you know, cog in the wheel of the machine of the, in, within the Matrix, and it doesn't even know how to like work the nuclear facility. Anyways, this subject is so vast in this and that.
Huge.
It's hard to bring it back more to generality sometimes.
Can I add something, Derek, to what you were saying?
Yeah,
what
go for
we're
it.
Kind of building on is that from the shows I remember, the older shows I was mentioning, a lot of the shows, and even like a cartoon I watched, He-Man, I loved that as a kid. There, at least the older shows, I always found that there was a lesson to be learned. So that's what I loved about the older shows. Like there would be some type of moral issue or something that had to be worked through. Yeah.
Knowing is half the battle.
Exactly.
They used and to they have a yeah. lesson at the end of everyone.
Yep, and He-Man was the same way. Yep, they'd have He-Man.
Got stuck in the refrigerator underwater, and yep. then, you know, the big black guy that carries the torch, the flamethrower guy, yep. guy's down there, his name is Barbecue, I think, something like that, and he gets the kid out of the refrigerator, and then he's like, kids, never play inside of old refrigerators.
But that's so true, Chris. Yeah, and He-Man at the end of every episode, the one of the main characters would come and describe the whole lesson at the end of the cartoon. We don't have that. I don't see that anymore. The limited amount that I watch, I don't see that. There's not lessons that they're teaching. If they're teaching anything, it's opposite of what I remember.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. You were not trying to sit calm and watch other stuff. And I'm going to pass it to you, Chris, and just, you know, finishing off of just, yeah, we're just talking about a specific genre within so many different genres of programming on top of programming on top of programming. And what the point I was trying to make is just, yeah, they try to build up, you know, week by week of all the commercials and the advertisements and all this stuff. And just people just turn on the television as if it's just a daily routinely reaction. And Chris, I know you guys had a wonderful live stream the other week, talking about rituals a little bit.
Well, symbols
plays into just like how they're, you know, the television is the altar of a lot of people's family rooms, right? And all this stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're kind of making me think about The Simpsons was one on the list I made. You know, I chose a few to kind of focus on. And The Simpsons, if you remember, at the beginning of every episode, dun, 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 right? They're going through the whole routine, right? And they always end up on the couch. And, you know, if you think about Married with Children, too.
Based around it.
You know, it's based around the couch.
Yep.
And a lot of these shows are, the more you start thinking about it, they're based around the couch. And that's the whole thing. What do you do when you watch the shitcom? You shit down, right? You shit down to watch the shit, right? It's a shit theme scene with a shit stream of shit teams. That was a little poem I made up. But, you know, I thought about some of the shitty morals these shows are teaching, and sort of cumulatively, they all do this too. And I mean, I think keep in mind how important music is. Like when you hear music, it puts you back in the place where you were at that time, right? So we're mm-hmm. back in the couch, back in our dysfunctional family. And that's like what the joke is here, right? On most of these shows about the dysfunctional family, which is basically one way or the other, it's the destruction of the male archetype, or it's the destruction of the female archetype, or both. And, you know, the main shows that I was kind of thinking about with this, Friends, Married with Children, The Simpsons, Seinfeld, and The Office. There's a lot more out there, but those five are ones that I've been exposed to repetitively. How many times do you have to repeat something before it becomes a program? How many times do we have to say something and hear a sound before it does get programmed into our head? How many times do we hear something before it does start to affect our thinking when we don't realize it subconsciously? How many times do you get into a disagreement with argument with someone and your brain is looking for the right words to say when you're mad or frustrated, and where's it going to go to, right? If you're listening every night to these shows, people with their comebacks and they're talking shit to each other, that's pretty much, you know, I'd say about 50% or more of what shitcoms, the essence, the pulp, what it's actually about. They're either telling lies and then spending the rest of the show, like in Seinfeld, covering up that lie with other lies and telling lies to each other and themselves until they get themselves into such a pickle that it's hilarious. How funny that you told all those lies and got yourself into this really stupid position that you should have never got into if you wouldn't have told the first lie and the second lie, you know. But that's basically like what Seinfeld is about, is telling lies. And then in between telling the lies, there's shit talking. You're either shit talking about yourself or you're shit talking about your supposed friends. And that's what Friends is as well. The whole show is let's make all the men act like the wussiest men you could imagine on the earth, that have no backbone, that don't in any way embody the male archetype in terms of being strong or honest or brave. Let's make the women have some of those attributes, and then we'll make the men the opposite, and then we'll make the women kind of more male-like. They're more decision-making. So they're basically taking the male-female roles and just screwing them all up, and then they're constantly all talking shit about each other through endless iterations, shitterations, I would call it, endless shitterations of how can we make ourselves and each other look bad because of lies that we told, or by bolstering our ego in a way that, you know, all this really breaks down to something even worse that's a little deeper layer, and that's de facto Satanism. And that's basically what all this is. It's worship of the ego and being distracted by the most useless and mundane and non-divine and important, non-important items we can think of. So some of the things I see in destruction of the male archetype, like Homer Simpson kind of shit, Al Bundy kind of shit, laziness, sloth, dishonesty, infidelity, low confidence, making fun of others to feel better about yourself, cowardice, and then like Friends, women embarrassing men, women solving problems that men can't, making men look like wussies, men showing off with nothing to back it up, men being soft-spoken, dressing feminine, worried about their appearance, tripping on their shoelaces, basically inept, lacking strength and agility, no commitment to things that matter, dressing and acting like females, and stuck on porn and always single because they can't hold a relationship together. And then, you know, like they're doing in Married with Children with the young daughter, slutty, or the mother even, right? Mm-hmm. Completely obsessed with materialism, dressing slutty. The girl's too young for sexual content. People that are watching this are too young for the sexual content that's being joked about. Women are used as idols and objects. Women are like dressed in clothes and pumps to Barbie themselves and create an impossible image and standard that women, normal women, can't ever hang up to. And then they talk about their superficial desires. They always make fun of unintelligent blondes. Women's can't do males' jobs or chores. They're constantly making fun of that to enforce that stereotype. And your job is more important than your family. A lot of these shows that I didn't list here are young children in big, fancy, rich houses. This is Disney does this every year. They have a new one. It's like 3, 4, 5 children of different races. Their parents are so rich that they can't even afford to spend time with their children. And so the children are like super critical of adults. It's like a children of the corn kind of situation. So the job's more important than the family. No one listens to the women. The women are not feminine. They act like males, and they're not feminine in either kindness or grace or gentleness. And then there's ultra sexualization. So, you know, I didn't have to think hard to come up with that stuff. It's just like, right, boom, 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 right there. And yeah, you might say, oh, this is all just to laugh at. It's just to be funny. But isn't there other ways to laugh? Isn't there other ways to be funny? Is this really the way we want to laugh and be funny every single night as a ritual?
Yeah.
I think it's good, yo.
And Married with Children, that was the whole show, was degrading each other and laughing at each other. That show was famous for it. Based on it, actually. So that was the only one, Chris, that I ever really, that I, like I said earlier, I leaned into and watched. And it's fascinating when I think about the show now, all these years later, and it just what the whole story, right? You have Al, the father, who meets this his future wife in high school, but in high school he's a promising football star and he's got like high hopes and he really wants to go forward in life. And then what do? They bring in that he meets his wife, his soon to be wife, Peggy. And what does she do? She's lazy and doesn't want to work. She's a hillbilly, and she traps him basically with sex and then having kids. And then that's the whole, you know, then like you described, the whole story kicks off from there. You have, and then you see what they, like you said, what they did with the daughter, Kelly. She's the blonde, dresses super, super, you know, slutty, I guess.
Yeah, how old was she supposed to be?
Yeah, she was like 16 or 15 or something like that.
When did the show start? They were still like almost preteen. And also,
oh, absolutely. And they were dressing her even back then. If you go to the earlier episodes,
it was
really slutty for her age. And then you have Bud, the son, who's basically a pervert. That's all his whole thing is. And it's just it's a really wild show when you break it down. Like they really, it's everything like we were describing what Chris was saying. They've, you know, Peggy doesn't want his wife doesn't want to work at all. She degrades him constantly, that he's not good in bed, that he doesn't make enough money. He doesn't provide all the comforts that she wants, and just really degrades him. That's what every episode is, basically. And then Al's walking around miserable. He hates his job. He hates his wife. He hates his kids. He hates his neighbors. And this is the type of show. And it's really, to me, that was one of the really big shows that started going in that direction, that was starting to push a lot of boundaries, I think.
Yeah, and I'll just add something real quick. And Jim, I know you're next on deck, but aside from laugh tracks, did you guys catch the, like, when, I forget the woman, the young girl's name, but when she would step on the scene, it wouldn't be laugh track, it'd be more like catcall, whistling, that kind of stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what's up with that? And what kind of programming did that do for the young male youth since that time, and how many women have been catcalled based off of that kind of bullshit?
You're right. Yeah.
And it's not to say like, yeah, oh, it's the fault of the creators of, you know, Married with Children. No, it's, you know, everyone needs to take their own goddamn fucking responsibility and look at these things for what the fuck they are, you know, art or media or whatever the fuck. And also, can we not
look Jim's at parents didn't let him watch it. You know what I mean? Some parents didn't, you know, and that's the discernment, right? Like, should we really be watching this every night? You know?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, Derek, but the responsibilities in the viewers too, not just the makers, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the whole point of this, you know, conversation we're having is to point out the effect, right? Like the cause and effect, like the effect that these sitcoms and all like television are causing, right? So, and that it's intentional. So like what good is coming out of it? Like this, is this really like progress for us, or is this elevating the consciousness? No, it's totally keeping us down, right? It's like everything Chris said, that was a great breakdown of all the effects that, you know, these shows are causing. And, you know, I remember a while back, seeing Carlos Santana just in a random interview talking about this kind of stuff and saying like how, you know, we could just, why are we watching all this crap on TV? Like he's like, if he said, if he had control, he would always be putting out beautiful stuff like babies being born and like, just like very positive stuff, uplifting stuff. And that's just not the case. You know, this stuff, even though it is like subliminal, a lot of it, and just like I said before, and Rick said, it's like we think it's normal. Like we don't consider, like, gotta really consider, like, what, you know, this is causing, and stop thinking that it's normal. I remember seeing too that documentary, The Century of the Self, over a decade ago, and that really changed my perspective. Like once I got it, that like that got into Edward Bernays and how he's the mastermind behind like commercials and the influence on television, and also, you know, the shows too, like how that, you know, affected people. And once I saw that and got that, I kind of just like, that's when I really would stop watching TV. It's kind of like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark at the end when he's just like, don't look, Marion. Like, and they're the only ones who lived. Like, don't look at that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with the news. Like, the news is, that's a whole nother. But you would always get the coming up at 11. On Eyewitness News, you know, in between when you're watching those sitcoms. But yeah, if you watch the news, forget it, then you're really screwed. But so I always kind of kept that in mind, like, just don't look at it and you'll be okay. But like, it is disturbing that most people don't even come to that realization. They're just in, you know, they're in it, like the Matrix, like, don't even give it a second thought. Like, just, this is just normal. It's not. So I would probably just keep hammering on that. Like, we have to stop thinking it's normal and just like take a step back. And I could probably, the first thing to understand is that we are programmable. So
for sure.
Once you understand that, then you can change. Then you can think about changing the programs. So. Back to you, Jerry.
Oh, thanks, Jim. That brought up a thought when I read the book, The Four Agreements, how we have these names, right? And it's like we carry them because that's what we were called. But really, you know, it's a human fabrication. And we get so attached to these material things, but we need to look within. Be spiritual. And I just think about my childhood when I think about this topic. I said, hey, I'm not going to be Homer Simpson. I'm good. Like, I can have this drink. I'll be fine. And I mean, that's like a common thought, though. It's like, that's what everybody else is saying. Oh, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to fall for the trap. But we're dealing with master psychologists here. And it's like, we're mice in a test and they're manipulating us. So seeing it from that angle, I can now see, all right, I'm in some trouble. Because I'll give an example. I started watching Dexter not too long ago because Mark Passios, he brought that series up when he was talking about psychopaths. So I was curious to see a show about that. And then, I don't know, I binge watched about 2 seasons. And then this was about last year, around last year. And then I started watching it again because I was on Netflix. Or I thought, hey, what can I watch right now? Then I saw Dexter and I said, all right, I'm going to pick back up from where I left off. And then I binge watched the rest of the 6 seasons.
And it ain't a sitcom, man. What the hell?
Wow.
That's not a sitcom, no. But my point is that I was watching it because I had a good intention to learn about psychopaths, but I ended up sort of not being too productive. So that's like my point with these whole sitcoms. It's, what did I really get out of this? Like, the reason why I was watching this was because, hey, I wanted to have good times, right? Laugh. I think we all want laughter. So I'll bring up this one slide from Richard Grove. Or matter of fact, I'll just give a quote of his. He says, comedy is when the incongruity which arises does not directly threaten your freedom. And a lot of these sitcoms are threatening our freedom if we get too attached to them and not care about the truth. I'll pass it to you, Rick.
Good points, man. I get what you're saying about Dexter and stuff. That's a whole, we could do another show just on shows like that and reality, so-called reality shows, which I kind of talked about before we recorded. But I get it, and I want to say to people, like, you have to, it's definitely mind control. Like, and I think, Jim, you touched on that. That there, it's programming. They call it that for a reason. And Chris kind of proved it when he said he sang the G.I. Joe song kind of there when we were talking about it. And I could definitely sing the Married with Children intro perfectly. So it's getting in there, guys. Don't tell me it's not getting in there at some degree. And that is very dangerous. And you may think it's just laughing. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, I just watch it to laugh. It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just sitting there, you know, watching it to giggle and stuff. You may be doing that, but the message behind those laughs and what they're getting into your mind is very dangerous. And you have to be aware of that. So that's all I can add.
Who brought up commercials?
Commercials are crazy now.
If commercials did not work, why would they put so much money?
Exactly.
You know how much airtime for commercials used to cost? I mean, I know the whole industry has changed now, but used to be, I mean, that's what would fund the sitcoms. It wasn't the sitcoms that made the money. It was the commercials. And how do commercials work? By repetition, by programming your mind. So then when you go to the store, you remember that fun song with the girls with the big boobs, and then you see the gum and you just grab the gum and you're like, oh, I'll buy some Big Red. I love big boobs. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of that time when I was at the lake with those hot blonde chicks. Was that me? Oh, it doesn't matter. I got gum. You know what I mean? Bernays programming kind of stuff, they understand how that stuff works on your mind. If you like big boobs and the color red and it's right there next to the check stand and you saw it a billion freaking times every day for the last billion weeks, you're going to buy the gum. It's just how humans are. And it's the same way with all the subliminal messages and archetypes, like I talked about, the way they're shitifying the male and female archetypes. Mm-hmm. It gets into your head, and then you get in an argument with your girlfriend, and you hear the laugh track in the background, and you give the same stupid answer you heard Ross give or whatever, right? You don't even realize you're doing it because it's so baked into your brain because you've heard it a billion times, and you don't even know it's in there going over and over and over and over. And I thought about, you know, like, what are the morals they teach? Here's the morals they teach. Lying is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Lies are a good way to deal with tricky situations. Always avoid confrontation. Don't tell people what you really think. always talk about people when they're not in around in a different way than when they're there. Always choose personal comfort over all else. Always avoid responsibility. Always take the easiest path forward. Always laugh at others' misfortunes. Always look for a way to get something for free, even if you have to lie to get it. And practice extreme triviality at all times. These are the morals that you're being taught on a nightly basis. And this is a ritual because it's a worse kind of ritual because, you know, like when we think in our head of like evildoers doing rituals, you imagine maybe a fire and, you know, some sort of sacrifice, a bunch of people in masks, and at least they're making some sort of intention and they're choosing to be there and do that. But what most people are doing is just ending up on the couch, like in The Simpsons or these other shows. It's they're getting gravitated to there because the rest of their life is so lacking meaning and purpose. And they're so tired and exhausted from a day of drudgery at their slave job working at the power plant that they just kind of like, fuck, I just want to lay here and zoom out on something. I've said it myself. We all have, right? Yeah. Like when I have a hard ass day, there's nothing that sounds better than, you know, drink a tall can of beer and watch a dumb show. You know what I mean? And I fall into it too, even though I'm conscious of these things, but most people aren't conscious. And so what's it doing to your motivation in life? You know, the motivation that's taught, the motivational notes that are taught in these shows is only work hard in order to help yourself. Only work when there's nothing better to do, or only work on something really hard when it's a great distraction and it's trivial and it doesn't actually help human beings. Always try to get people like you, even if that means compromising your values. Always try to get people to like you, right? Even if that means compromising your values. Mm-hmm. Petty issues are top priority. The more petty, the more top priority, because that's more funny, right? Always keep your attention on the very most unimportant things in life. And that's why I brought some of the pictures, some of the slides I made of, there was a particular Friends episode where it was supposed to be Thanksgiving. And they spend the whole episode in this big ego battle between the females and the males of who can win a football game. And, you know, trying to make each other look stupid, flirting with this girl in the park. You know, it's all really trivial. It's an ego battle, and it's all based on sort of like a false ego claim in the beginning and a series of lies in between to make it more funny. Instead of, okay, we're supposed to be getting together and watching this for Thanksgiving. And I shit you not, millions of families across the country that night were sitting there watching Friends around their dead turkeys and laughing about it and not really thinking about it consciously, that they're doing a ritual of, you know, becoming like programmed into Satanism, basically. That's really what it is. I'll pass it on.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah, and I appreciate you sharing, you know, kind of things that we've all been subjected to and have kind of just fallen into, whatever, in regards to like toxic habits and routines, rituals, right? Yeah, like, you did a hard day of work and you want to get that some kind of gratification and just, you know, ease back and relax, maybe sit calm after a rough day. Right. And, with the television and the couch, it's already, you know, like you're entering into lazy city because yeah, that couch will make you slouch. And I'm not trying to come at it like a grouch or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with the couch. It's just, you know, something made for people, but it's just the symbolism of it, right? And so a lot of these, you know, with the uptick of technology, you know, what kind of alpha waves, times, whatever, have been pumped through these screens to the viewer of them? So there's other things, you know, metaphysically speaking, to keep in mind with these things, as well as, yeah, subliminal messaging and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Seinfeld and this and that. And, Now, I watched a good deal of that, especially back home last year with my mom. She was a fan of that, and like to have some kind of time with her sometimes when she just wants to relax. Or like she's like always working, but just to have the TV on and just like watch something kind of like, you know, with that divided attention in so many different directions, right? As if television isn't divisive enough with our attention and whatever else that programs us to whatever we're subjected to and to whatever degree that people take these things for. And what I wanted to mention at the tail end of the whole Bundy situation is that, yeah, we could see the raunchy, you know, slapdick humor of all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. And we could, you know, look at these things through apophatic eyes, meaning like, yep, I even felt this before I had some grand awakening and looked into esoteric, whatever the hell. I already, you know, understood, you know, sociology and just like, you know, human behavior on a pretty conscious level of just in looking at things on television, like, you know, who the fuck would do that? Or like, you know, like, why would I do that? All right, I'm learning what not to do from these people more than what to do. But yeah, Jim, with the, you know, the whole wholesomeness, and some of you guys brought up some things of, yeah, Chris, like, what's the moral to the story? What's the message involved? And yeah, like, knowing is half the battle. What's the rest, right? Like, or is knowing a third of the battle if we're taking it to the trivium, huh? Anyways.
Good point.
Chris, I'm going to pass it to you because it's probably your turn. But, I mean, G.I. Joe is not a sitcom, obviously, but... I remember Family Matters. I brought that up because I remember watching that, and yeah, Steve Urkel is just off the wall, like silliness, and you got to take that as the grain of salt that he is, or whatever, and not be salty about it, right? But mm-hmm. Or take a grain of sand if you understand the plan of the program. Anyways, I love the fact that yeah, sometimes it'd be overly obvious of, you know, the problem that in the plot that they're getting into and what the story is building up to, but you see them trying to resolve something at the end of almost every episode. And that's really kind of cool to see, even if it's can kind of be silly and stuff, you get that little, you know, sense or gold nugget of morality. And that's kind of, you know, what we're more aligned to. And we could see these things. And when we look at things now through, you know, more awakened eyes, we can just discern a lot better and see for what it's worth and see the programming manipulation, but also, oh, okay, they did some cool stuff there. Okay. You know, like we can have respect, and respect is just a word to look back again. And if we're looking back objectively and being the objective observer and not being moved by, you know, emotionally, where they like to pull at the heartstrings with the music and the dialogue, you know, all this stuff, right? We can, you know, just take it for what it's worth. And if it's not worth that much, just carry on, right? Voila. Mm-hmm.
Very true. Good points, man. I'm just listening to what you guys are saying. I'm actually jotting notes down, kind of just as we're talking, so I can go back over it afterwards. But what I'm thinking about too is I remember growing up, we had such a small TV in the main room. Like, and this is where I'm just thinking, like, we just had this small black and white, believe it or not, TV, very tiny. And we all kind of watched that one TV. And now I'm thinking, look how big these devices are getting now. Like, TVs now, people want the biggest TV they can possibly afford. They're huge and usually in multiple rooms. So it's not like you just have one TV. Everybody's got pretty much a TV, I'm assuming, in their room. Everybody's got their own TV, or there's at least a few in every household. And, you know, you guys are kind of touching on the social engineers and the programmers. They know what they're doing, and they've got this down to a science, and it's and an art form, basically, is what they're doing to people. And it just shows you the power of these devices to me, because as you said, what you said, I think it was you, Derek, it's putting you in a trance state. So you're sitting in front of the couch, and it's designed to do that. And I know a lot of people think it's probably just you know, we were talking about it, like you just want to sit down and just be entertained, and it's a little bit of harmless entertainment. But there's definitely subliminal messages going on, not just with the show you're watching, but as you said, the commercials. And those messages are getting in there, and it's definitely, it's so powerful. It's definitely steering society and people, and putting thoughts in there that would not normally be there. And Chris was kind of touching, we all kind of touched on it, that it's a very powerful thing that you have to be aware of, even though it may seem like fun and it's harmless and it's not, you know, it's not really a big deal. It really is. And that's kind of the trick that they're pulling over. That's the illusion that they're pulling over people's eyes and selling to people. So I just want to add that in, and maybe Jim wants to add on to that.
Yeah, man. Thanks. I was thinking, you know, we're kind of dating ourselves a bit, being a little nostalgic when it comes to sitcoms, because I don't think there's like any sitcoms these days that are like popular anymore, that like none like come to mind. I don't watch TV, but I just don't think that there's nothing like that compares to Friends. Like Friends was like one of the last big ones, or like Seinfeld. I could be missing some of that, but since like the smartphones came out, that changed the whole dynamics of programming. And Derek, you had mentioned earlier Couch, and that triggered Couch Potato for me. Like, and that's definitely the effect, like that was, they wanted to cause, like, to create lazy, sedentary people, you know, like just get on the couch and be like useless. Like, that's the goal, like Chris was saying too, like the end of the day, just be a couch potato. Like, and you know, these days, you also said, like, we do have these big screens, but it seems like kids prefer to watch movies on their little phone over TV. So, like, they're totally attached, you know, us as well, to these smaller screens that got us all day long. We don't even have to we don't even come home from work anymore and become lazy, sedentary people. We just pull the thing out of our pocket.
Good point.
Can be, become that lazy, sedentary person just wherever you are. But I was thinking, you know, since the one good thing is, like, we do have so much more choices these days, where when we were kids, there was a lot less. Like, it was just the sitcoms. So, and I know YouTube isn't a great example, because they can be I don't know why I can't think of that easy word, but prohibitive or whatever. What am I thinking of?
Provocative.
No, like they take your shit off, shit down. Banning.
Cancel.
Copyright.
Canceled.
No.
Talking about like copyrights. Whatever.
They censor. Do a lot of sorry, like, there you but go. That's the point. Like, so, like, I'm not trying to promote YouTube, but there is a bazillion choices of things to watch, and you can get there's lots of educational stuff out there. Like, you don't have to be a lazy, sedentary person. You can. There's lots of ways, other avenues, or, you know, streams that besides YouTube, where you have these choices to educate yourself and like learn a lot more than ever before. So that's better than like television only had to offer. Like, we do have alternatives available to us much easier at the same time. I think that's good. I'm just trying to point out, you know, some solutions to being a couch potato. Like, and just, again, always trying to understand, like, that's where they're trying to keep you, you know, down, keep you down into this lazy, sedentary couch potato human type of human. So yeah. Also zombie comes to mind. That's something they try to cause. So pass it on to Jerry.
Thanks, Jim. I'm still working on my active listening skills because, you know, I caught myself wanting to jump in there, but I'm like, nah, just listen to what Jim is saying. Wait till he's finished. He made a great point about the couch potato thing. But now that it's my time to speak, I guess I'll just bring up the solutions, right? Like, yes, I already talked about the negative sides. And then this came to mind. I was watching Brandon's 24/7 live stream last night and Mark Passio's Fear of Sacrifice and the Freedom Movement presentation was on. And it's like, yes, I grew up with the sitcom, the shitcoms, and like, you know, I got to let that go, essentially. And I know Leslie Powers talks about letting go about that stuff in her Alive and Thriving series. And it's like, I have to look at the shitcoms from all aspects, not just what I want to see. So ignorance is evil. And just talking about this with you guys, I've learned that, yes, revisiting the shitcoms, I've noticed it seems really dumb. There's always, at least from what I've noticed, there's one person that's just really, like, they just act like they're retarded. And it's like, they do it for giggles and laughter. And then one thing you brought up, Jim, was they want your attention. So it's all a war for attention, for our most valuable resource along with our time. So they don't want us to learn natural law. So, I mean, people are going, since they don't understand the foundation of freedom, they're going to be lost and watching shitcoms and talking shit with their compadres. But now I'm going to get into solutions. I mentioned Brandon's 24/7 live stream. Watch that. You'll be fracked up. You will be learning a lot, tons. And I recommend an hour a day. I mean, I think everybody has an hour that they can invest in to become a conscious human being and fight for liberty and freedom. And I would also recommend Benny Wills. He has a new community, but he provided a free community with all of his Joy Camp videos once I got censored from fucking that Nazi platform YouTube. And yeah, I mean, we have to end evil. So, I mean, you want comedy? That's comedy. And comedy is dying, I feel like. So we need to, you know, keep that alive. But shitcoms ain't doing it. And I would also recommend Grand Theft World. I mean, yes, there's a lot of heavy stories going on. But, you know, there's some comedy sprinkle throughout that, and even whatonearthishappening.com. I mean, it's very serious, but you know, you gotta have a good sense of humor when you're doing this stuff. You can't just be dry and stuff. Like, if you look at my image in the One Great Work Warriors, I'm serious, you know, I'm serious about growth, but gotta have the sense of humor. All right, Rick, I'll pass it to you.
Awesome, man. What you just said, Jerry, is amazing, and it fits in perfect to what I was going to wrap up with. And you brought up the word attention, that is what they're fighting for. They're fighting for our attention. And yeah, there are so many more things we can watch now. It's endless. I mean, it really is. So my advice would be is you have to be very mindful of what you're watching and where you're focusing your attention. So what shows are you watching? And are you getting any value of them? Are you learning anything? Is it improving you in any way? Or is it just, you're just watching junk food basically for your brain? So I think that's really important. I that's what I've said at the beginning. I watch more documentaries than anything. I'm usually watching a documentary or a presentation by somebody or something that I'm trying to learn and improve myself and learn more about truth. I'm always trying to grow. So that's mostly where all my attention goes to, and I'm very mindful of that. Do I slip off the path and watch something silly once in a while or get distracted by something? I'm just like everyone else. Of course I do. But I have to be mindful of that and then kind of reel that back in and get more focused. So that's my advice is there is incredible content all over. You just have to be willing to search it out and watch it and put the time in. A lot of the presentations that we all watch are and so important, but there's some of them that are really long. There's some of them that are 7-8 hours long, and a lot of people, I've tried to get people to watch stuff that's of value that's that long, and they just complain endlessly about how long it is. But they'll watch a sitcom. They'll binge watch a sitcom over a weekend and put 6-7 series behind them in a weekend. But you ask them to watch something of importance for that 7 or 8 hours, even sometimes an hour, and they'll complain about it. So just be mindful of what you're watching and what you're taking in, because it does matter. And I'll pass it to Derek.
Yeah, it does matter a lot more than, you know, the symbolic Al Bundy slouched on the couch with half his hand down his fucking pants. And this doesn't go for just like people in that generation in that specific scene, but I've seen this just in real life with, you know, like bros or whoever the fuck, whatever age, you know, like just like with their hand like all the way in their pants, like feeling themselves, like, you know, talking to people in public, like, what the fuck you fucking doing, guy? Like, straight up. I don't get that shit. Is it like a posture of masculinity, whatever the fuck, kind of pseudo bullshit? Anyways, like, on the flip side, you got a bunch of nerds on Big Bang Theory with a small Wang Theory on, you know, what it really takes to be a man and how to be intimate with a woman and just like actually be integrated and interact with life and other people. Like, you see the most awkward social skills imaginable on the screens and this and that, and like people actually love this shit. And I've just been wondering why for the longest time sometimes. And yeah, like, it's hard to like focus on. It's not hard, but I got so many different notes on so many different things. But yeah, Jerry, I feel you on the solutions and all that. I just had to pause to get a laugh track, you know? You know, like, it's like this weird way of you see people in a staged situation the whole time. I mean, imagine, you know, having a coffee with your friends. Do you think, you know, the whole place is silent around your sacred little space that, you know, the cameras focus on, that kind of stuff? Like, no, there's billions of people on this earth, and you know, you see these shows and they're focalized on these people as if they're the stars of life, even though they're doing some of the most mundane shit and, you know, fumbling around and bumbling and mumbling and all this stuff. And like the whole thing with friends, I mean, I watched a good amount of that because my ex-wife, she learned a good amount of English from watching Friends, believe it or not. She's from Tahiti. French Polynesia, like French is her main language. That's kind of why I'm here. Much love to her, yo. Even if we're not together, it's just keeping that heart light as a feather and respecting that love through that specific endeavor. But yeah, like watching Friends, I've realized like how many fucking porn references they had, you know, throughout, you know, I was watching it from like 2013 for a couple years and with her, and I'm just like, wow. Like, and these are supposed to be like, you know, like people in their late 20s, 30s, whatever, like people living in New York where it's a kind of fucking cutthroat, and you know, but they're all like hunky-dory about stuff, and it's like, okay, it's like, can you be more silly? And like, as like Chandler would say, like, you know, his little catchphrase things. And so, yeah, like that's something I wanted to mention, Chris, in that last live stream of how there's like this, the parasitic language of how things have been kind of programmed into our dialect of certain words and phrases and all this stuff. And you just see hear when you're talking with, you know, people that are ensconced in poop culture or pop culture, right? That, you know, like some of these shitcoms. And you can catch some of that lingo that they're just, you know, spitting verbatim, you know, through, you know, they're vicariously living through these fictional characters, right? So we all really got to, you know, reel it back in of who you really are in the end and how you are in contrast to all these caricatures out there and this and that. And we can, yeah, just see for what it's worth, like I mentioned. And yeah, recognize the silliness. We can respect some of the, like, hey, like, I'm not one to be able to create a and produce a television show, are you? At the same time, like, it's out in the public. Is it good? Is it bad? It can be, it's up in the air to be criticized, whatever. And there's so many divisiveness about people's, you know, fucking opinions about whatever, due to whatever kind of ego attachment or distorted interpretations and whatever the hell. So I'm going to pass it on to you, Chris, man, because I'm just going to linger on all this stuff and the follies of, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about a couple of our older episodes. What was the one called that we did where we talked about the ego? What is the ego? That's a real old one. If you look back in One Great Work Warriors, we had a great episode where we talked about what is the ego. And then I wanted to point people back to, there's two episodes on the dangers of compromise. And we really talked about in that episode a lot about how there's all these ways that the bar kind of gets lowered when it comes to, and it's all about principles. We talked about this too in society. And one of the ways that happens is through the boob tube, through the shit tube. And there's really not much of value on there to be true and honest, in my opinion. You should be reading books, listening to books, documentaries and things that are recorded purposefully for a reason. Have 100 million times more value than one of these shitcoms. You really nailed it, Jerry. I like how you put things there. Especially being in that kind of zombie state of mind where you're entertained, like Derek so well described, the roots of the word, where your mind is sort of in a right-brained, imaginary kind of place. You're very susceptible to subtle comments and music and things that you don't realize are subliminally affecting you subconsciously. That's how hypnotism works, through repetition and by applying to your right brain, you know, to getting you in that imaginative state. So being aware and conscious really changes that. Be aware of the repetition of the music, of the same words and phrases, as these guys have, you know, so well discussed and brought that up. And then one other thing that, you know, Jerry, you brought up, and I know it's not a shitcom directly, the Dexter, but it's a good example of something I call the demented hero. It's in all these shows, too. They've been subtly doing it over the last 20, 30 years. I've been noticing more and more, like the Sopranos, you know, the hero of the show is a vile person who's killing and murdering hundreds of people. But he's kind of a nice guy and you get to know him, and the whole show is kind of from the point of view of this guy. And he does have his moments where he does sweet things. And so you start endearing him, but they've sort of subtly tricked you into looking from the eyes of the demented hero. And you can't help but living vicariously, as Derek said, through these people. And then if you're conscious and aware, you'll see how much more movies and shows have done this. And then getting you used to ritual slaughter of people on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That is ritual murder and slaughter. If you're not conscious and aware, you're just part of it. You're like you're a happy acolyte of evil, you know, if you're just unconsciously letting yourself zombify into that. So the solution is, overall on this stuff, being conscious. And it can be fun to go back and watch some of these shows, find the symbolism, find the things they're saying that are satanic, you know, and if you look at these things from that point of view, it gives you ideas for content. And I'm going to be going, as you're seeing in the coming weeks, in that direction, because I think it's a way to get people a little more interested. Now, we shouldn't have to sink to the depths of deranged and the worst things we can think of to get people's attention. But that's where people are at. People are in the slime that's been pouring from the Nickelodeon since they were kids. You know, what was that slime they were pouring on those kids? You know, there were some pretty disgusting beginnings to Nickelodeon's mm-hmm. were actually originally little picture shows where they showed nudies way back in the day. So the actual history is not quite so easy to find. But it is evil and it is sick. And if you look behind Hollywood, you're going to find a shitload of people that are into human trafficking and human slave trafficking and terrible things with children. And Hollywood promotes this. So should we be spending our money and putting our conscious time and energy into supporting their bullshit? Or should we separate from that? That's why we're doing. We're creating content that is wholesome, that does poke holes in the lies, and that does show you a way out of the matrix. It's your choice as the listener, whether you're going to follow the white rabbit or sink into the mire with the rest of the zombies and becoming a tech, you know, demented hero in their hypnotism of bullshit. And behind all that, there's another agenda, which is called the Technotronic Agenda. And the Technotronic Agenda is a future kind of like the Matrix, where you're all hooked up in your little machines and your little boxes, and reality seems very real to you and all that shit that's going on inside of your visor, but you're actually just like a boneless fish inside of a black box, which really isn't too far separated from where we are right now, especially since COVID, when people more and more are used to working from home. You know, the old days were working in an office, you know, and I'll end it by talking a little bit about the office. The office is an allegory for all you people and what we're doing in life and the sad, depressed nature that almost all humans are in when they realize that they're partitioned off and cubicled from the people right next to them. And the best thing they can do with their day is think of jokes to pull and, you know, putting sand in their neighbor's desk or, you know, hiding your stapler, you know, and people are to the point of, you know, ready to fight over a stapler. You know, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. It shows making fun of you. It's making fun of your life that doesn't have any fucking meaning or purpose. Don't let that be you. You know what I mean? Look at the hero on The Office with Steve Carell, who's the manager of this office, is constantly just lying to his own people and doing whatever he can to save his own fragile ego and acting like a psychopath in so many ways. And it's funny, but you wind up kind of liking him and you're hanging out with these people every night. These are your best friends. This is who you go home and hang out with every fucking night. That's a shame. That's a shame. Shame on you if that's what you're doing. Really, you know, get a better life. Get a real fucking life. Get something to care about. Do something worthwhile with your fucking time. And get off of that crack. You know, it is crack, basically. Just watching that stuff day in and day out. So obviously I'm not too fond of the shitcoms. Obviously I've watched them and they have sunk in and I'm bitter about it, you know, and I'm filtering through all the bullshit they left in my head and I probably will be the rest of my life. But this stuff's real, folks, and you've got to be conscious of it. Otherwise, it's destroying you and your family and your future and your children's future. And it's not just the shitcoms. That's one small little bit. That's one part of the wall of the matrix around you to build that Technotronic Agenda I'm talking about. That if we don't wake up, then we will be enslaved even worse than we already are. So game on. Folks, let's do something about this. Start putting out some content. Start being conscious, aware, and pointing out the bullshit where you see it instead of letting it soak into your bones. Anybody else have any last words before we close up this awesome episode?
Yeah, I'll just say real quick, Chris, I love the fact that you meant, like, it's really going, alluding to focus. And we do not want to have, you know, our minds and our thoughts being inundated by a bunch of unconscious miasma from the media and all these things. So yeah, like we have so many different options out there. There's the One Great Work Network. There's Autonomy, as Chris, you know, Jerry, you mentioned, and like so many different outlets of wonderful conscious content, if you will, to
yeah, check out the One Great Work Network. Got like 70 content creators there. Check out Brandon Spencer's live Twitch. It's running 24/7. What else can you ask? Plenty of good stuff out. Get the ARC, you know, send Mark Passio some bucks and send him a donation. Get your terabytes of videos and movies and stuff to watch for the rest of your life, you know? So, here's to doing something worthwhile with our time. And thanks for checking out the One Great Work Warriors. Jim, Jerry, Rick, Derek, thanks for coming, guys, and bringing all those powerful thoughts and ideas. And I hope we can, I really miss having Brandon Spencer with us this week, but I mean, hopefully he'll add some little bit of his creativity to this. I'm sure he will. And we'll be back next month with another episode from the One Great Work Warriors. Thanks, folks.